You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
Hey everybody, Pat Rigsby here with another episode of the Ideal Business Show. And today my special guest is Bobby Smith of Ripped Training. Now, I had the good fortune on two separate occasions now to visit their facility in New Jersey, where they were hosting the Speed and Power Summit that Athletes Acceleration was putting on. And I mean, once I had the opportunity to visit and kind of see just a sample of what Bobby's put together there, it became clear to me that, man, they were doing some really impressive things. And Bobby, you'd be a great guest to have on the podcast to maybe pull back the curtain on a little bit of how you've built such a successful and impactful business. So welcome, Bobby.
Wow, Pat, thanks for having me, man. It's a real honor.
So, you know, before we get into kind of today, where the business is at, you know, I'd love to have you share a little bit of your backstory and how you got into the fitness and sports performance side of things to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, it really all started when I was in high school and I really saw the effects of what weight training did for me. And then, you know, training at a sports performance facility in high school and learning the Olympic lifts, learning how to squat, learning how to hinge properly. And that was just a huge, you know, stepping stone going into college, knowing those expectations, knowing those standards, and, you know, being on the top platform, being at the top rack, because I already knew what to do. And just having that advantage right from the start set me apart from everyone else in college. And that was one of the things that I wanted to give my athletes, that step ahead. And, you know, my background, I was a football player. I was a javelin thrower. I did two sports at Monmouth University. But I had four major surgeries when I was there, Pat. And what I did was I stuck in the weight room. I sat in the weight room for 2.5 hours. And then when we go out, when we're done with that, and run about 440s with 5 minutes rest in between, and thought it was an amazing session. And then when I was able to really focus on athletics and becoming a track and field athlete, that's when I learned how to run properly, learned how to move, learned how to be explosive. That's when I knew this is what I want to train athletes. This is what I want to give back to high school and college athletes, the ability how to run, how to change directions, how to be explosive. And that's where it all started. You know, I was fortunate enough to train at the Olympic Training Center under Dan Path, and I learned how to run. And, you know, in my high school and college career, I was a running back that didn't like to run because I didn't know how to run. And I just, you know, saw the effects of getting stronger in the weight room, and that got me faster. And once I started to learn how to run and move properly, that's when I knew this is what I want to teach athletes. This is what I want to give back. You know, learn from my mistakes, learn from my injuries. So when I was done doing my training professionally as a javelin thrower, my wife had a sports performance, I guess, physical therapy practice where she saw mainly high school, college athletes and active-minded adults. And that started, you know, about 8 years before we started Ripped. She was in two other sports performance facilities that closed because of poor management. And then after the second one closed, Pat, we were just like, let's do it. My javelin time was coming up towards an end, and we're like, let's go for it. We started looking at facilities, and this one that we're in currently right now just stood out. And I was training professionally at the time, so I only started with 7 athletes. I had 7 handpicked athletes that were former patients of my wife, and they were just studs. Like, they graduated from Duke, they graduated from North Carolina, Villanova, VCU, Syracuse, and they played at that high level. And I knew when I was training them, they were getting so much better because I wasn't doing the typical, you know, we're staying in the weight room, you know, we're just doing hypertrophy, getting them bigger, getting them stronger. It was doing a majority of the movement on the turf, getting them explosive. Don't get me wrong, you got to get them strong too, but getting them strong correctly. And when we took that leap of faith, you know, I put an ad on the NSCA, probably got 120 coaches to be my director of sports performance, because I knew my strengths, I knew my weaknesses, and I knew that I needed help. And having such a huge facility, I needed the right help. And the things that I was looking for was a former athlete, someone that coached collegiately at the high levels and had their degrees. Because to be honest, my degree is in special education, so I'm a teacher and coach, you know, first and foremost, and programming is not my specialty of expertise. So, you know, Adam's fight's resume stood out by far. Got the resume probably on a Thursday, and I was like, what are you doing? I want to fly you and your wife out this weekend. And flew him and Mary Kate out and showed him my vision, showed him, you know, there was nothing. We had no equipment. The walls were probably getting painted at the time. No turf, no flooring. And I said, this is what I want to develop. This is what my vision is. This is where I see where we can make a huge impact. And he was finishing his time at the Carolina Panthers and realized he could do more. And they came aboard, and it's been, you know, amazing ever since.
Well, I mean, I think you touched on kind of a cool journey there, but beyond that, I mean, man, you hit one thing that I see so often, and it's even more pronounced in the sports performance side than it is in like the adult fitness side, but you know, facilities just aren't managed well when it comes to the sports performance kind of training driven business, and they definitely don't have the longevity that even the adult based facilities do. And I don't necessarily know that any fitness industry based business would be kind of the standard when it comes to, you know, longevity of business success or anything like that. I mean, we're a relatively young field, but I mean, I think there are so many variables with sports performance businesses that the adult fitness businesses don't have, the seasonality of things, the fact that not the young athlete that's actually making the purchase. Sometimes the young athletes, I mean, they're not even serving as their own source of transportation. So, you know, so many things kind of working here. I mean, you guys have done such a great job. How have you gone from that startup to being such a, you know, successful business now and really having the degree of impact that you're having?
I think it started, you know, first from my wife and having her practice and her turning people away. You know, when people call in and they would say, you know, for example, she doesn't take any geriatric, but in physical therapy, that's where all the money is. And she specializes in ankles, knees, and shoulders. And she wants post-surgery. And her specialty is ACL. And developing her business model where she rented out in sports performance facilities. So she just paid rent and she developed her business, and her business was booming and growing. And then after that second facility closed down, she became the main leaseholder. So my wife's business is the main leaseholder, and now Rips pays my wife's business rent. And that way, one, we could never have this size of facility without her and vice versa. But two, you know, we're only making money from 3 to 8. That's our goal. How do we maximize 3 to 8 during the school year, from 3 o'clock at night to 8 o'clock at night? But all that time, the facility is just sitting empty. So how do we cover this huge overhead? And it's the partnership that we have with the physical therapy. And it's just, you know, a feeder system. You know, we just passed, or this summer right now, we're at 280 athletes. No matter how good our training is, someone is going to get hurt. And they just know, all right, they do physical therapy there. And then vice versa, they come here for physical therapy, they see the sports performance side, oh, well, I have to continue my training, so hopefully I can prevent more injuries. So just having that feeder system is huge. And I think that's where, you know, I learned, because when I was fortunate enough to train out in California, I worked at a Velocity that didn't have that. And they had this huge overhead, and the facility sat empty from early in the morning till, you know, 12 o'clock during the day or when we started. And it's like, how do you maximize those hours and cover that overhead? And then for us, where we just focus on the athletes, and the adult side is kind of the redheaded stepchild, which we really don't have many adults because of that. And we just focus on athletes. How do I maximize that time?
So aside from the athletes that get into the training side of the business through the physical therapy, are there any other ways that you have been able to connect with athletes, coaches, parents in your community that you found to be effective as a means of, you know, exposing the good work that you guys do?
Yeah.
And getting people in the door.
I think one of the things that really helped out is we started giving group discounts. So say from your team, like we would have an athlete, you know, do really well, see that they improved tremendously. And it was like, listen, the more teammates you get in here, the bigger discount you get. And if you get a certain amount of teammates in here, we'll give you the next season for free. And then building off that. And then next thing you know, like our first season, we had 40 athletes. And one of the athletes came up to me and was like, can I get my team in here? And we're like, yeah, absolutely. So we sat down with the coach. We had lunch. We brought all the parents in here. We showed them this is our facility. This is our expectations. This is our standards. And for the past 6 summers now, we've had that same team. And they've gotten better and better in the past 2 years. They've won a state title. And I don't want to say that's because of us, but that's because of the culture that we provided for that team, you know, without a doubt. So that was definitely the biggest thing that helped us, was getting our clients to bring in their teammates and giving them discounts. Also too, which has been a huge help for us, is t-shirts, like giving back to our athletes. So each season they get a different colored rip shirt. And then next thing you know, parents are calling, like, I see your shirt everywhere. What is this? You know, they go to our website, then they contact us. And, you know, Adam and I knew right from the start that we had no business experience, but what we did was coach our kids hard and coach our kids well and treat them like family. And that always been the biggest payback.
So, I mean, when you guys utilize the t-shirts, I mean, is it simply, hey, if you're an athlete here, you're getting t-shirt and then they're going to wear it around and it's kind of walking, talking billboards? Are there 100%. I mean, are they earned?
We have another one where if you didn't miss a session all season, you get an iron rip shirt. So when you sign in, we take you through an assessment process and then we give you a standard black rip t-shirt. And then each season we give you a different colored shirt. So if you sign up for, like, say a fall season, which is September to November, that would be the fall season. Then you get, like, say an orange rip shirt. Okay. And then if you didn't miss any sessions, then you would get an iron rip shirt. So for them to come in here, they love it. They got three t-shirts right off the start.
I love it. So, I mean, basically getting people to go out there and be ambassadors for what you do in the community, you know, offering discounts, having physical therapy. Have you found any particular approach to building strong relationships with local coaches? Because I know that's a question I get a lot, getting to see you as an ally and not an adversary.
So in the past, we were kind of hard-headed where we would just be like, listen, you know, you're getting your athletes better, which is helping your team. And then the coaches would be like, yeah, but kind of like, what's in it for me? They wouldn't say that, but that's what they would be. And so what we realized within the, you know, the AAU teams, the club teams, where, you know, we'll give back. So every athlete you give us, we'll give you $50, or we'll donate $50 to your organization, and kind of like giving back. And that way they're getting something from it. And it's, you know, hard. At first we would be like, no, we're not doing that. But then we came to the realization we need to do that. People always are looking, what's in it for me?
Yeah.
And to be honest, not everyone's, you know, caring and just says, you know, all right, you're getting these kids better. That's great. Well, no, it's kind of like, all right, well, we'll give you $50 every kid that comes in our door because of you. And that's been working out pretty well for us too.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I think that all too often we get to be kind of self-serving about it. And we think, well, what's in it for you is your athlete will get better. But I mean,
right.
You know, I think you guys recognizing the bigger picture there is just one more reason why you've had so much success. So at any given time throughout the year, knowing there's some seasonality with the athlete market, I mean, how many athletes do you have? Does it kind of ebb and flow?
Yes. So we are extremely seasonal. So winter is always our busiest. Then it goes summer, spring, and fall. And predominantly we see girls soccer is our number one sport, and then it'll go like field hockey, lacrosse, and then it'll be football. So say soccer, field hockey, and football, three of those four seasons are in the fall. So the fall, like right now we're at 280, we'll drop down to 100 athletes. And if we get to like 120, that's a great fall for us. So realizing that, we got to know that our summer carries our fall and our winter carries our spring, you know, money-wise. That we know that we have to have a great summer to carry our fall season, because our fall season, we don't cover our expenses. Our winter, we're booming. That's got to cover our spring, because our spring's not great either. So after the first couple of years, realizing that we're so seasonal and we have to plan that way, that's how we learned.
Okay, good. And I think there's a hidden lesson there too, right? Because so many people are week to week or month to month when it comes to cash flow. I mean, you guys have kind of understood the seasonality of your business and adjusted accordingly. And it requires somebody to be a little more astute on the financial side of things. But I mean, whether you're paid once a year or 12 times a year, the revenue is the revenue. So, you know, I mean, we just have to understand how to manage our finances.
Yeah, 100%.
So with this in mind, I mean, you guys have done great work. You've kind of minimized the role that the adult side of things plays in the business, which, you know, having been in your facility, I mean, it's definitely an athlete facility. I mean, it's yeah. The type of atmosphere that an athlete wants to be in. I mean, do you see that somebody can have a truly successful athlete-driven business, even if they don't necessarily have a physical therapy clinic in-house, but maybe just some sort of relationship with one?
Absolutely. And that's the big thing is, like, you know, what's unique about my wife's business is not only does she see mainly athletes, but she'll take them right up till they're ready to see us. Because three of my former coaches work for her as well. So they're getting them ready for Ripped, or getting them ready for the next season, their upcoming season. And a lot of the time, insurance isn't paying for that. Insurance is only going to pay for 30 sessions. Well, if someone tears their ACL, they're there for three times a week for 6 months minimum. And my wife would just be like, all right, well, eat that. Because she or he is going to do great on their rehab, and someone else on their team is going to tear their ACL or get hurt and say, where did so-and-so go to physical therapy? And if you don't have that, what you could do is reach out to physical therapists, because probably no one else does that, is going to see, you know, an athlete for that long, but have a return to sport, you know, program set in.
Okay.
So I think that would be a great, you know, revenue, is reaching out to local physical therapists and saying, hey, what we can do is have return to sport. So as soon as their sessions are done with you, they can come with us and we'll get them ready to the next season. Because a lot of physical therapy practices aren't going to have the turf. They're not going to have the facility that's required to get an athlete ready to return to sport.
That's great. That's a great insight. So kind of as we segue to, you know, real practical advice like that, I mean, do you have two or three tips or strategies that you would recommend for somebody who is in the sports performance side of the industry and wants to kind of either build a successful business or make their business more successful?
I think one of the things that, you know, really was a light bulb moment for us was zoning out your facility. So, like, say, for example, and when we first started off, Adam would have a 3 o'clock group and then I would have a 3:30 group. So when Adam's group was going through the facility, we would be running into one another. Not literally, but we'd be on top of one another. And we had a huge facility, and all of a sudden we're on top of one another. We just sat down and was like, all right, let's go through our sessions, which is 90 minutes long. Where do I need to be during this time? All right, where do I need to be during this time? Where do I need to be during this time? And we literally have our facility zoned out, where our warm-up is done in zone two. All right, our speed and agility is done in zone one. All right, now we're going into our plyos. We have to be in this zone. All right, now we're hitting the weight room. We're going to be in zone three. So now we never ran into one another because we knew where we had to be at that time. So everything was time-based. All right, our warm-up's 15 minutes. All right, moving on. All right, now speed and agility is 21 minutes. All right, now we're going to our plyometrics. That's 9 minutes. Now we're going into our weight room. It's 45 minutes in. We're finally starting to hit weights. And that way, we knew, all right, we're in this zone. What can I do in this zone? And knowing, all right, we're on the platforms. We can have one athlete on the platform. All right, this area is open. We can have doing some type of core. All right, now we can work on our correctives over here. So that way, we were never running into one another. And like what I tell people, our program is the best for our facility. But our program might not work for your facility. It's zoned out and timed up for our facility where it works out like an athletic factory.
Very cool. Very cool. So zoning things out would be number one. Anything else that you can think of?
And I think the game changer, or what we started it, Pat, it's culture. Culture is everything. And if you don't have a culture, you don't have a successful business. And what we decided to come up with was our seven commandments. And number one, if you want, I'll say them for you.
Yeah, please do.
Change your mentality. So you get to train here, not work out. And we go over this after the assessment process. So why we say we get to train here, it is a privilege. We have top of the line equipment. We have amazing coaches. Why we say we train and not work out is because we're here because we're athletes. We're here to get better at our sport. Number two, prepare. If you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. So we ask our athletes to get here 15 minutes early, and we have everything for them to foam roll, to stretch, corrective exercises to get done. So once your time's ready, you're signed in, your card's pulled, we're ready to rock and roll. Number three, believe. The power of belief is huge. Either you think you can or you think you can't. You're right. So believe in us, believe in our program, believe in yourself, because the RIP system works. All you need to do is show up consistently and you're going to get better. Number four, commit to the process, train in the moment. Little things lead to big things, focus on the present. So we do group training. So I have to make sure that everyone is focused up, paying attention, and when I'm talking, you're not. Number five, better than when you started than when you finished. We want you to become a better athlete, teammate, person. So what we're going to learn in here is life lessons. You apply them to school, you're going to be a better student. Number six is the big one, eliminate negative body language. No hands on hips, heads, or knees. Never show weakness by letting them know. And what I go into with the explanation is putting your hands on your hips is comfortable. So we want you to get comfortable being uncomfortable. So when you go back to school and everyone's sucking wind, doing wind sprints, you're standing up tall and let them know you worked your butt off all off season. And number seven, don't be afraid to fail or afraid to be great. Fail forward from learning from each mistake. Because we have a 75% return rate. So three out of four athletes in your group have been here before, know our standards, know our expectations, and know what to do. So you're going to come in and you're going to make a lot of mistakes, and we expect that. That's the learning process. But if we're not learning from those mistakes and they keep happening, that's when we have a problem. And Pat, this past winter, I assessed 70 athletes and 64 of them signed up. And to be honest, those six athletes that didn't sign up was probably better off because of it. And that just sets the tone right from the start that this place is different.
Well, I mean, frankly, this is worth somebody listening to the podcast to begin with, like this alone. So
it's huge. And that's like, we're always top down. Like the culture is on us. We set the tone. Like I'm always coaching the first group of the day. Like 6:30 college group, that's my group because I'm setting the tone, I'm setting expectation, and I'm bringing the juice and bringing the energy. And that's the big thing that people always say, that the energy in this place is amazing. And it's because that's who I'm starting it off every day.
I love it. So if somebody wants to learn more about you and what you do, because I know, you know, you're out speaking, you've, you know, done a couple courses with Athletes Acceleration. How would somebody find out more about you and the things that you have going on?
So we do a tremendous job on social media, on our Instagram, I Got Ripped, and our Facebook and Twitter, you know, Reach Your Potential Training. but the big one, you know, our website, but also with Athletes Acceleration. And, you know, Pat believed in us right from the start and saw that our first product that Adam and I did together, our jump product, Coach's Guide to Jump Training, which, you know, Adam and I went out and did on our own, Pat. Like, we were like, we know we have something great here, and we did it all on our dime, and we shot the videos, did everything. We reached out to multiple people, and Pat's like, this is an amazing product. Let's get this going. And it was a huge success. And then Pat's like, let's get the second one out. And then, you know, what we thought that would, you know, definitely stand out is, you know, the training for females. Since we see 70% female athletes, we knew, talking to a lot of business owners, that they see a lot of females as well, and not everyone knows how to train them correctly. So those are definitely two products that you can find on Athletes Acceleration that you can learn exactly our systems and learn, you know, everything that we do here, basically.
Well, I can attest to the quality of those products. I happen to have the good fortune to write the sales page for both of those. So, you know, so I got to review them, and I mean, they're both must have parts of a library if you're going to train athletes at the highest level. So, you know, we'll have links to all this on the, you know, on the page as well as the show notes. So, man, Bobby, thank you. It's been great. And just the stuff that you shared about culture at the end was just an added bonus worth, you know, the time that somebody gave us in addition to all the other great things. So thank you. And thank you, everybody, for listening in to another episode of the Ideal Business Show.
Thanks for listening. We've got a special gift for our listeners. We're giving away 52 cut and paste newsletters that you could start using for your fitness business today. To get your special gift, head on over to patrigsby.com/gift.